B-Pod Studios.
Final hour here on Agenda Free Friday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It's brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. As promised, right to your phones. Murray's opening take was on Lamar Jackson and how everyone should pump the brakes. Mario in traffic. Does he agree? Go ahead, Mario.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, I know we keep talking about Lamar Jackson and his and him being able to not get hurt, let's say. But let's consider Robert Griffin III, you know, which wasn't that long ago, and he was very similar to him. I just want to hear your take on what you think.
Okay, so in terms of the injury thing, I mean, they're roughly the same size, 6'2", 213. I just looked this up on Robert Griffin. I mean, that was a guy, Maz, you can't catch him to hit him. You can't. Quarterbacks are, you know, back then, quarterbacks were protected, maybe not quite as much as they are now, but roughly the same. So none of these guys have survived from a physical standpoint.
Yeah, look, there's no question. I mean, Mike, the physical part of it is the biggest question, whether these guys can survive. And I don't think I've ever sat here and said that Lamar Jackson's not going to get hurt. So, you know what I mean? It's not, I'm not saying he's injury proof. I just don't like all the comparisons to the previous guys because I'm not sure they all fit. And I think he's faster than Griffin. I think he's faster than a lot of these guys. Now, does that mean he'll get hit more? Maybe. I mean, I'm not telling you he'll get hit less. But I also think that the big thing to me that's a distinction right now, he's in his second year. Really, it's a little more than his first year because he only played about half a season last year. This kid's completing 67% of his passes. Griffin was under 60. You know, Vic was under 60.
Right. I was just going to say, Griffin and Vic never did what, maybe Vic, but Griffin never did what this kid's doing this year.
Yeah, not really. And so, now look, I'm rooting for him. Do I think he's going to make it? I have doubts, major, serious doubts. Because guys like this, even if they don't get hit, when you're moving that fast, like I feel like about guys who move this fast, the way I feel about pitchers who throw really hard. Sooner or later, their arms pop.
Right, and he doesn't even need to get hit. Maybe he just plants incorrectly and something gets blown out, you know?
That's exactly it. So, you know, whether it's Tyreek Hill or Lamar Jackson or pick whatever other guy, they move so fast and they cut so quickly, sooner or later, their knees are going to pop.
I mean, just by comparison, Lamar Jackson this year, 24 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's completing just about 67% of his passes, has a quarterback rating of 114. This does not include the running. Okay, so this has nothing to do with those. Are all pure passing stats. Robert Griffin's, you know, he really had 3 years, but, you know, his best year when he first broke out, he had 20 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That's similar. Okay, Lamar Jackson's not done. But it was 20-5, touchdown-to-interception ratio. His completion percentage was 65.6, so it was just a hair underneath what Lamar Jackson is. And his quarterback rating was 102.4.
Oh.
So that's actually closer than I would have given it credit for.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was that was the 1 year.
That's the year he went 9-6 as a starter, and they lost in the playoffs, I guess, that year.
Yeah, 2012 to Seattle.
He got hurt.
And then he got hurt there. Came back the next year. They went 3-10. He completed 60% of his passes, down 5%. His touchdown to interception went 16-12. And his passer rating went down to 82.2.
Yeah. I mean,
that was pretty much it.
That was it. He was truly a one-year wonder.
Yeah. Once he lost his mobility, he became a different player. But there were also stories about these guys, and Griffin's another one, and Vic, that they didn't put any work in. Right? That they weren't invested in the preparation that went along with the position. So everything that you're hearing about Jackson suggests that he's a little different.
Consummate teammate. I saw that thing because the center blew out his knee in that game. He made sure he had, like, the front seat of the plane, and he got up and gave him his seat. Like, yeah, and he's putting in the work and doing the practice. Those other two were complete a-holes.
I mean, again, yeah, really, Vic relied on his pure God-given ability. Now, you want to tell me that Vic had more talent than this guy? Vic had an amazing arm. Amazing.
A hose.
Oh, my God. And he could whip it on the run 65 yards. I mean, he could really chuck it. So Vic might have had a stronger arm and thrown a better ball. But I don't know. This kid feels like more of a quarterback to me than the other two.
But don't tell me we've never seen this before. I mean, it might be a hair faster than the previous guys, or a hair this or a hair that, but we've seen this before.
Yeah, we have. No doubt. And he might be just the flavor of the month. In fact, you know what? As we're talking injury, this might be the week. San Francisco is really physical, and they're fast on defense. It would not shock me if Lamar Jackson got his clock cleaned on Sunday.
You know, who's this a big week for, now that you just mentioned it, is that D coordinator in San Fran, who everybody loves because he's so telegenic, the Sala. You know, because he's in great shape, and he's Mr. Clean, and he's Mr. Clean hairdo, like his bald head, and
he looks like an action movie star.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. He looks like an action movie. He looks like a cool guy, bro, in shape, like you know,
The Rock.
And the camera loves him, right? So, and he's become a star because that defense has been so good. If they shut down Lamar Jackson, then that guy's the hottest coaching candidate probably in football. You know, to get the head job the next year.
Absolutely.
Let's grab Jimmy in Newburyport has a thought on Lamar Jackson. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, real quick. I absolutely love the Coyle and Wagner contracts. I think you were right on with that. But back to Lamar Jackson.
Coyle's a good player.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he fits in perfectly with the Bruins organization. Lamar Jackson, though, I think somebody needs to take the chance and hit him and see what happens. Because once he crosses over that... you know, over the line, he more or less becomes a running back, does he not?
So you're saying intentionally take a penalty, intentionally?
No, I'm not saying intentionally, but what I'm saying is somebody needs to take a chance and see what happens. Because earlier, Mavs was saying that they protect the quarterback and they'll throw a flag. I think someone needs to see what's going to happen if they actually level him.
Well, I mean, hit him hard. I mean, aren't they trying to hit him hard right now? I mean, it's just a matter of time. I don't care how fast you are. I don't care what your effing Madden rating is, or like your speed is on the stupid video game, or even if you are the fastest guy on the field. Whoever the fastest guy on the field is eventually gets hit. Maz, remember Ronaldo Skeets Nehemiah?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So there was a sprinter who was an Olympic sprinter, like just the fastest man on the planet. Like that, like who's the fastest man on the planet right now?
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt, okay? So it was like this guy, and he put on football pads, and he played receiver for the Niners. So the fastest guy on the planet, like a freaking cheetah. This guy was so freaking fast. He got hit coming over the middle once. Do you remember this hit? I don't remember who it was against. But I bet if you Google Skeets Nehemiah hit, it'll come up. He got hit so freaking hard. Coming over the middle one, it's like, I don't care how fast you are. Eventually, someone's going to be there, and you're going to take that hit. And that's what I think, people who say, well, you can't catch them to hit them. Someone's going to catch them. Someone always does. Adam in, I don't even know where this is, Sarasota. I'm sorry, Adam in Sarasota. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey, afternoon. And by the way, there's nothing better than seeing the Habs getting beaten like a pulp yesterday. I was surprised they didn't call the cops. Like they tried to do with Zdeno Chara back in the day. But anyways, my point is on Deshaun Watson. You know, with Lamar Jackson had a lot of success against the Pats a couple weeks ago with the RPO. Do you feel that the Texans and Watson will be using a similar strategy? And Epstein didn't kill himself.
Okay. Well, that last piece, you're just going to have to.
No, that's obvious.
Yeah, well, there's a news flash.
But I'm not fully invested in that particular story. Thoughts on how they defend Deshaun Watson this week?
I don't really see much RPO stuff out of them from the games that I've watched, and they've been on national television a bunch. I don't know. If anything, I feel like he's a bad pick waiting to happen. That's the one thing that drives me nuts about him. I like watching him play, but for one, he hangs onto the ball way too much. And Maz, you've brought that up before. So sometimes he takes sacks that are on him, and it's a shaky offensive line outside of Tunsil. But I don't know. Like when he's throwing to the middle, and you saw it last week against Indy on the Thursday night game, like I feel like he's got like a low trajectory on his ball. You see him get tipped at the line, and then you see an interception. You saw the same thing a bit last year. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to be anything out of the ordinary.
I mean, Mike, you've said this a million times when they go up against mobile quarterbacks. Okay, so to me, there's a difference between a quarterback who's mobile and can make a play out of the pocket versus a guy who is part of a run-centered offense. I think this is where Watson and Jackson are different, right? Jackson's going to run the ball 15, 16 times a game. Watson's going to have five, and they're going to be on scrambles. They might design one or two on a third down to get a key pickup, but that's it. So what the Patriots are going to do? Mush rush. Keep him in the pocket. Because he's most dangerous when it breaks down. That's when he threw those touchdowns against Indy.
I'm stunned that they let Lamar Jackson run on him. Stunned. I thought, if anything, they would make sure that didn't happen. And so I didn't think they'd let Lamar Jackson go off. I'll say the same thing about Deshaun Watson. I think they'll defend him the same way and get back, because that's a, you know, he throws deep well, very well, by the way. And that last game, they hit a couple big balls over the top to Indianapolis. The safety's back. Mush, rush him. Don't let him run, and see if he'll complete 6 or 7 down the field. I said the same thing about Lamar Jackson, and they still torched him. But I think it's the same thing this week. Here's our buddy Corey Pesatora, the accordion champion of the world, I'll say. I don't know if you're a world champion, but anyway, Corey, how you doing, buddy?
Actually, I'm a 3-time world champion, Mike.
So suck on that.
Yeah, exactly. And the Guinness World Record, which you remember. My bellows technique is rated 98 on Madden, you know. So I want to ask you, Michael, actually quickly, the Christmas in the City Natick event, when is that?
That is... Yes, that is December. Is it 7th, Maz? It's the first Saturday after. It's a week from Saturday.
Right. I don't know if that's the 6th or the 7th, but it's that Saturday.
It's the 7th, yeah.
I am in Ukraine, if you can believe that or not.
Oh, screw the Ukraine. Would you get back here and play for us?
Yeah, let me know if you run into anybody from the Republican Party over there, Corey.
I gotta find Joe Biden while I'm over there, apparently. I'm playing a concert and master classes over there for a while. But you know what? Maybe I could talk to you guys after and maybe I could donate like an hour concert to someone in the New England area, and the money whoever pays could go to the...
Playing a concert in the Ukraine?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I play everywhere. I just played in New Zealand a couple months ago. I play everywhere. So maybe could do that. Some kind of donate a concert or something that I could play to someone in the New England area. We could, you know, the money whoever bets on it could go to, you know, Christmas in the City, since I can't keep making these events at Natick. We'll talk about that after.
But okay, yeah, email.
Yeah, so I wanted to say, this is a big picture since this is a long weekend, something I thought of when the Bruins lost that game 7 and with Brady's contract, is could this possibly be the end of the run after this season with, you know, we know what's going on with the Patriots and Brady. The Celtics, for goodness sake, they spent 7 years to get this dynasty going, and now the Brooklyn Nets are better for the future, and the Lakers are better out than the future with everything they did wrong. You have the Red Sox with all their problems, salary and sale and everything else. And the Bruins, I think they're going to be above average, but they didn't hit enough in the draft. I worry about with their contracts in the future. Could this be the end of the run after
the... Okay. I'm sorry, Corey. I'm just going to cut you off there because we're up against it. I don't think so, because Bill's got another 3-4 years to go. He's got to catch Shula. So I think as long as Bill's here, they're going to be in it, no matter who the quarterback is. I really feel that way. And I don't mean to diss Brady on that, but the Red Sox, don't you feel like they're going to go through this cycle again?
Yes.
They're
in fact,
win.
Honestly, I don't write off any of the teams in town.
Yep,
I think
me neither.
I think the Celtics are on the right trajectory, right path again. I like where the Bruins are, and I like the fact that they have some young players in the operation. I don't know if they have a superstar among their young players yet, but I feel good about the depth of the team and sort of some of these guys coming through. You know, as long as the Patriots have Belichick, they're going to minimum go 10-6. Like, he's just too good a coach. And the Red Sox will pull their typical Jekyll Hyde bullcrap, but they have too much money to suck.
I agree. All right. So, bottom line, I think we have a ways to go. I do. I think we have a ways to go. We continue with your thoughts on Agenda Free Friday. We get back to the Cowardly Lion, Kyrie Irving, right after this as well.
Boston's home for sports.
The Kyrie Irving era is over in Boston.
Like, who cares?
I can't wait for all this other BS about regular season and keep getting better and talking over and over and over and again about what we can do to keep getting better in the regular season. I just want to be at the highest level playing. I mean, that's what I'm here for.
Hey, well, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career, and I don't owe anybody. So
I don't get frustrated about this stuff anymore. It's just part of regular season, you know, in the playoffs when we could plan for a team, prepare for a team. You know, I still don't see anybody beating us in 7 games. It was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron.
Ask me July 1st.
I'm definitely taking some things up for the playoffs.
He's done in Boston. And you ready for this? You ready for this? The team needs to help him pack.
Yeah, who cares?
Hey, Kyrie, f*** you.
Yeah, get out of here. Go to New York.
Hey.
Again, thanks to Big Jim Murray on that. We close closing out here, Felger and Maz, on an Agenda Free Friday on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Again, I'm coming to you on location Maz and Murray back in our Town for Attire studios in Dorchester. Seriously, what a coward. I always thought that the greats are wired a certain way, and the way that they're wired is, I'll go in and show them, you know? Like, they want nothing more than to walk into a hostile building, get booed, and shove it right up their keister. Like, isn't that the way most of these greats are wired? Don't you think that's the way some of these guys, and Kyrie is like just the opposite? And that, I was going to say unbelievable, but for that guy, it's kind of believable.
Oh, totally believable. I mean, I think it's completely who he is. Again, I used it, to me, it's a classic old hockey term, gutless puke. Gutless puke. That's what it is. And again, if you'd say, oh, come on, cut the guy a break. Look at his history. When he was with the Celtics, he wouldn't go back to Cleveland. Now he's in Brooklyn, he won't come back to Boston. The guy's, he's a coward. He's a complete coward.
Yeah, and he can't duck him forever. That's the thing, because, you know, he's in the division. But, I don't know, this is, I can't believe it's going this sour this fast with him on that team. I figured it was all a matter of time. We just all lived through it. But, I mean, this, I now leads me to believe, remember it was during the preseason where, like, he had to go to the hospital because, like, I don't know, there was some sort of, something happened at a practice. Because he had like a, I don't know, someone hit him.
No,
in
he
the
got
nose.
Brushed in the nose. He got elbowed in the nose during a preseason game.
Elbowed in the nose.
Facial fracture, yeah.
6 months from now, if a story comes out that he got punched by a teammate, you're going to be surprised?
No, God, no. I think it's, you know, in all likelihood, the guy's a pud. He's a pud.
What does government mean to you? Imagine someone coming into work and saying that, like, where you're just trying to get through the workday. And imagine that as an NBA player, and you're just trying to watch boring film, and he comes in and says that to Brad Stevens last year. How do you not throw your drink at him?
Oh, the one I like. Yeah, I'm sorry, Maz, go ahead.
No, just quickly. There's nothing worse than a dumb guy who thinks he's smart.
Oh, right.
Like, and that's what Kyrie is. He really thinks he's this philosopher, and he comes off as a complete donkey.
What I like is, you know, you forget how bad it was from the start last year. At this point last year, the Celtics were 11-10. 11-10. They had gone out west, lost 4 of 5. The only win they had, I think, was an overtime win in Phoenix. But they had lost 4 of 5 out west. It was at one of those games, I don't know, like the fourth or fifth game of the year, where he comes out and says, we could use a 13-year veteran on this team to calm everybody down, despite the fact that Al Horford's on the team, Marcus Morris is on the team, and Gordon Hayward's on the team. They had already lost at home to Orlando. They had already lost at home to the Knicks. After which, Kyrie Irving was asked about his Thanksgiving plans, to which he responded, again, I keep saying I thought the impossible, which was F Thanksgiving. That's right, F Thanksgiving. Go F yourself, Thanksgiving. Who says that? Who feels that way about Thanksgiving in the first place? It's just such a relative, compared to the others, you know, a pretty innocuous holiday.
I don't know, vegans maybe?
You can have
just
vegetables.
The sides.
Yeah, you don't need sides. To eat the turkey, right? Exactly. Oh my God! There's no gifts. There's no religion. There's no like any sort of big tension point there. It's just, geez, Louise, F Thanksgiving. So again, in the true Thanksgiving tradition, if he's telling us to go F Thanksgiving on this day, we can tell him to go F himself on Thanksgiving. So that's sort of what we're doing as well today. So we can talk Kyrie Irving here as we close out the hour as well. In fact, let's do it right here. Let me jump Ian in Somerville. He wants to talk about Kyrie. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, so actually I got tickets to the game tonight. I had this game circled on my calendar when the schedule came out this past summer. But I had a feeling that Kyrie Irving wasn't going to play, and he's just got to be the most insufferable NBA player in league history, and he's even worse than LeBron, because LeBron would actually come out tonight and he would take his own medicine, but Kyrie is just so cowardly. He's faking an injury for the past week just so he doesn't have to come to Boston. But
it's unbelievable.
He's not going to be able to duck Boston forever, especially when, you know, Durant comes back next year and they actually have meaningful games to play. But yeah, I think, you know, you're spending hard-earned money to come and watch these stars play, and they just do whatever they want. So it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, now you're talking about two different things. Kyrie has a Boston problem as much of a load management problem, and I do agree. I feel like he set up this injury last week, and he's missed multiple games to make this one look better.
Yeah, no question.
And the other places where he ducked Cleveland again earlier in the week, and he also ducked the New York Knicks. And I'm sure there's Knicks fans that are pissed that he didn't end up going there, but they should be thanking themselves he didn't end up going there, too. Oh, this is the fakest injury. Shoulder injury, my ass.
Mark my words, March 3rd, he won't be here.
So I was going to ask, that's that second Nets game here?
Yep, and you know what? Because the caller makes a good point. he won't show up until he's got Durant with him.
That's right.
You right? He'll have Durant with him, and he'll be able to come in here, and they'll be able to blow doors, and then he can give everybody the finger. But if it's just him with a bunch of guys that already hate him, he doesn't want to be here.
Tom and Quincy with the Patriots Thought. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I want to talk about the Houston game, but real quick, I despise the NBA, so I'm with you, Mike. He F's Thanksgiving. I say F him and F his league. So how about that, Kyrie? Stick that in your pipe, you dink. But looking forward to Sunday night, right? Especially with the Gilmore-Hopkins matchup. And this is the whole thing. They never get beat by one guy. And they'll attempt to take Hopkins out. Not an easy feat, but Gilmore's pretty sick, and I can see him doing very well. If you leave it to Kenny Stills and Will Fuller to do anything, Will Fuller can fly, and he might blow past some guys, but he is he likes to drop things.
Yep.
You know, there was a couple of weeks ago. I think he dropped 3 touchdowns a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Let me cut you off. You know, because how do you think they play it, Maz? Because I've seen them put – a lot of teams do this. Your best corner on their second receiver, go one-on-one, and you double. You know, if you're going to double-team somebody, you don't waste – Ty Law, Revis, you know, you put that guy one-on-one without help on the second guy and put your second or third corner to double-team the other guy. You think they'll do that with Hopkins?
I'd be willing to bet that Bill leans that way. And isn't that sort of a bad, I don't want to say an indictment. Okay, that's too strong. But don't you think on Gilmore that's...
Nope.
Why not?
It's good strategy.
Okay, but if he's the best cover corner in the league, why wouldn't you give him Hopkins?
Because he may be the best cover corner in the league. I still don't. This is my problem. Maybe I don't see him as Revis or Law or someone who just give me that guy. I'm going to take away half the field and that, you know, give it to me. Like I maybe because he's not as demonstrative. Okay, I don't know.
This is definitely a you problem.
Maybe
it's coached that way here because I think Bill does what's best for the team, not some individual matchup. So maybe that's what's more what it is. Bill's going to – the smart thing is to double him with my second and third guy and put Gilmore one-on-one with their second receiver. That's the way you do it. That's smart – and that's what you defer to here. You don't just do the matchup to give some individual the spotlight. Like, that's not what they do.
I'm not saying it's about the spotlight. I'm just saying that – did Ty Law get Marvin Harrison?
Not every time, Maz. He didn't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they sort of moved around on that. They did.
Yeah, I would. Did he get him in the 3 interception game?
Some of it.
Okay, so look, all I'm saying is if Gilmore, this is why I say indictment's too strong a word, but it's an indication that Gilmore isn't the level of corner that someone like Law was or Dion or, you know, and I'm going to the greats of the greats here.
Yeah,
these guys are Hall of Fame players. Okay, so, but, you know, honestly, if it's Hopkins, Gilmore, and I'm the Texans, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that, which is why I don't think Bill will do it. I'll take Hopkins one-on-one against any corner in the league because I think Hopkins is that good and can catch that many balls, and I think Bill knows it, so he's going to play it the way that you said. I don't think Gilmore gets him one-on-one.
One more segment of your wonderful phone calls right after Murray's update.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
I am not hearing good things about Kyrie in Brooklyn.
Already?
I'm talking about you're hearing. People are putting stuff out there. If Kyrie's listening, I'm telling you there's stuff circulating out there about him from an attitude perspective.
Kyrie comes in for the first time since leaving. Are we booing him?
This is Boston, folks. When you tell these fans that, hey, I'm going to resign, I'll be back, I'm here for the long run, and then you turn around and leave a sour taste in the organization's lap and fans, this is going to be one of the loudest boos in league history coming.
And I don't have to
this
tell
Wednesday
you because you're finals
up.
MVP and you're a Hall of Famer and your number's in the Raptors in Boston.
These are passionate fans. They care.
And not more than passion. They're the most successful championship-laden franchise in the NBA. And if those fans feel like you didn't make us better, we made the conference finals without you, and then we got worse with you. It comes with the territory.
I'm going to tell you this. On Danny Ainge, the last part of his sentence was, it's not fair. Like, what in life is fair?
Oh, no, it's fair. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on the course there, Murray.
Hell yeah, no, that's the best part of it. Ice Tea's classic. Some of y'all brothers are bitches too.
So he deserves it. Is fair. It is when you carry yourself like he carried himself, then he deserves everything that he gets. All right, just a couple more phones here before we hit an epic final word. We have an elongated epic final word, so let's get a couple calls in here quickly. Tim in Taunton on Kyrie, go.
Yeah, hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, Kyrie definitely skipped this, you know, because he's afraid, because he's a little girl and doesn't want to see the Boston crowd. But I think he's also going to do this for the rest of the season now. I think he's trashing this season, not chasing the ring, and waiting for KD to get back for next year. Thanks.
Okay. Well, if the Nets were smart, they'd shut everybody down and tank. Like, I mean, this has occurred to me. You understand what Golden State is doing here?
Sure, like, of course, yes.
Golden State is going to have a top five pick this year. And they're going to have everyone healthy back next year. Like, it's fascinating what's going on out there. But that's a tangent. Mike and Woburn, give me your thoughts on the Charlie Coyle contract.
It's below market value, Mike.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what guys signed, look at the big 2016 free agent signing. Backus, $6 million a year. Oposo, $6 million a year. Ladd, $6 million a year. That was 3 years ago. Freaking Louis Erickson, $6 million a year. He's a Swedish paperweight right now in Vancouver, and they still got him for three more years. By the way, Maz, crank up the translator. See what Swedish paperweight is in Swede. I'd love to hear what that is.
So, Mike, listen, again, you understand the depth of these contracts in the league, or you have a great grasp of the depth in the contracts in the league, but can you tell me, how does Coyle compare to someone like Braden Schenn with St. Louis?
Braden Schenn's better.
Okay, Braden Schenn's making $5.25 million.
Okay,
but he's the same age.
But Braden Schenn is also playing on with the top line with top line wings. Charlie Coyle is playing on the third line and basically single handedly giving you secondary scoring with rookies and guys like Brett Ritchie. You put Charlie Coyle with like a Tarasenko and a I'm trying to think of the other winger in St. Louis that's escaping me right now.
Okay, but whatever.
With the top guys, he's going to put up points like Schenn.
Okay.
He will. He's that kind of player.
Okay, so that's what they're paying him as. And this is what my concern is, that once you pay him like a top six forward, that he's not going to produce like a top six forward. That this is precisely what worries me about it. Like the Backus deal, it's good to bring that up. But Backus was a free agent. This guy's still in your operation.
No, but he was going to be a free agent in like 3 months.
He's going to be a free agent. He'd get him for $750,000 less than the free agent price, and it was probably going to be more if he hits the free market. I mean, Skinner got $9 million a year. The people are crazy out there with what they're paying. This was a good deal, and so was the Wagner deal. I mean, basically they're paying Wagner that guy who shall not be named paid Daniel Paille 8 years ago.
Right. Can you imagine what Chiarelli would have done with Wagner? Oh, my God. But I think it's a good deal, too. And if Charlie Coyle has another playoffs like he did last year, Maz, he's a $6 million a year player on the open market. I'm sure of it.
Okay, I mean, so again, listen, this is all very easy to sort of assess in the long term, and that is, if he ends up being the equivalent of what is a second line center, you guys will be right. If he's not, then I'll be right.
Okay, I love it. Scoreboard, we'll have one eventually. And coming up next, an epic final word. Fresh Fuppets that you don't want to miss. Two more high school calls, the two best high school calls, and Mason tells me a surprise diabolical little piece of sound from today as well. All coming your way next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Nobody. So let's do the Fuppets first, Murray, so we can make sure to get that on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. This is Hardy's brainchild and his brilliance at work. Really doesn't need much of a setup other than Maz desperately trying to get me off the fence this week. Go ahead, roll it.
Put it this way, if someone beats the Patriots, how's it going to happen?
Oh, Maz, I don't know.
Sure you do.
I can't answer it.
When I was just a little girl.
Their offense is going to score enough, and the Patriots aren't going to be able to punch it in and match it.
Who the hell knows?
Okay, but take an educated guess on what you've seen.
I think anything can happen. It's freaking football.
Well, then what are we talking about? What do you mean, what are we talking about?
Whatever will be.
If anything can happen, what the hell are we debating it for?
The future's not ours to see.
But predicting the future, you know about predicting
I'm
the future.
I'm trying to get you to debate it, but you won't debate it.
Que sera, sera.
Debating the future is dumb, because no one can do it. It's too hard to predict.
I'm going to use this approach going forward.
Yeah.
So the final shot is Maz slamming his head into the microphone, butting his head against the wall. I have that effect. All right, Murray, what else do we got from Hardy today?
So we have a surprise entry that I guess he just sent to Mason, who's producing the show today. So if you want to fire that, Mason, have at it.
Do you want me to rant about Terry Bradshaw?
Not really, no.
Do you want me to rant? Do you want me to just keep doing this?
No.
The useless sports talk radio phone interview, that checked every single box. Bad phone.
Conditions. I thought Tom Hanks' condition was extremely well.
Not funny grab ass.
Maserati.
Thank you.
Short Maz, right?
Yeah, Maz is good.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Didn't say anything.
Rings make a difference, but you don't necessarily have to have a ring.
Checked every box of the useless sports talk radio interview. Every box. Oh, my God. It just frustrates me.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
I blame you.
Excellent. Yeah,
great recap.
So true. Oh, God. That was painful. It took years off my life, that thing. All right, let's grab our final two high school calls again to get you in the mood for your local games. We've done this for the last several years. We started with Beetle years and years ago, and we've carried it forward. We've just kept running the same clips.
This is my favorite.
So we put I've had new clips put in front of me, and none of them reach this level. They're all just these are worth it. So I know it's mostly high school. The first one we're going to give you is low level college. It's FAU, Florida Atlantic University. This one is. The guy gets so wrapped up here. Not only does he shout out of the press box, which again is sort of a tell that you've got an out of control play-by-play guy. They start shouting at the field, down at the field. He starts shouting at people in the press box with him. There's even, I think you've heard this before. If you haven't, enjoy. This is epic.
This is just a day where the Owls were their own worst enemy. They had problems with the officials, but who knows? Maybe those guys got it all right, except for a call we know that they got wrong, which did hurt. And Campbell scramble. He's taking a lot of punishment today. Oh, and he took a hit to the head on the slide. Oh. Where's the flag? Where's the flag? A hit to the head on the slide is a flag. To the 27-yard line, Van Camp slow to get up. He does get up. His helmet came off. There's not a flag. Where's the commissioner? Where's Wright Waters? Where's Wright Waters? That's embarrassing. That is absolutely embarrassing. That has to be a flag.
And that still, we'll see.
He's if sliding.
Send Van Camp to the sideline. No, there's Cooey.
Yeah.
You've got to get him
He's
out of there.
He's got to come out of the game now. It's ridiculous. I can't believe that. I cannot believe that. You can't.
I mean, it took him a while to get into the
wow,
flag.
He is defenseless. He's defenseless. He stands to a flag. Third down. Cooey throws over the middle, behind the receiver, incomplete. It'll be fourth down and three.
Van Camp took a helmet-to-helmet shot regardless, even if he wasn't in his slot.
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want. That's the mood I'm in at the moment. Apparently the team is not the only one melting down here. 5:58 to go.
It's the best.
That. Talk about checking all the boxes.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Surratt and Beers losing their mind in the forum or, you know, the Bell Center, whatever. Like, you see Judd looking at the people next to him going, I will fight any one of you French Canadians.
I think at some point you feel that if you're ever up in those stuffy press boxes and you're actually
people start looking at you.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me at the Super Bowl this past year because I got pumped up when they moved the Rams back for a field goal after it was like a sack by Hightower. And I was like, yeah! And everyone turned around and looked at me. I was like, what?
I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it.
Yeah, I love it.
That is a great one. That is an all-timer.
I also love, again, the box check. And one is when you shout out the press box. Wait, he got so heated there, Mason. You just back it up a little bit. He ripped the headset off, I think, and started shouting out the press box.
Pounding the glass.
Yeah. Wow, he is defenseless. He's defenseless. He stands to a flag. Down.
Oh, it's the best. All right. Speaking of shouting out the press box, here again is our buddies. I wrote it down and then I threw it out.
Sean Riley and Kevin Whalen.
Thank you. Sean Riley, Kevin Whalen. They cover Abington High School football.
Green Wave.
The Green Wave. The Madam Muskeget thing comes in here. I you know, touchdown Madam Muskeget. You've heard this one a million times. It's worth it. Just roll it in.
Second and 10, eye formation. Looks like Driscoll, the deep man in the eye. Austin throws it out. Oh, no, it's a backwards pass. It's a line ball. It's a line ball. Pick it up, Cody. Yes. There he goes. There he goes.
Touchdown, Madam Muskeget.
Oh, wait a minute. He's saying it's an incomplete pass.
No.
There's no way that's incomplete.
Absolutely not.
That's a backwards pass by 5 yards.
Absolutely not.
There's no way that's an incomplete pass.
26.
That's a backwards pass. It's a live ball. That's a touchdown taken off the board against the Green Wave. And that man does not have that call or the view.
Live football! Horrible!
Who? 5 yards, backwards pass, live ball, touchdown off the board for the Green Wave. Nuts and bolts, we got screwed. Third down. 3:46 on the clock.
Oh, there's so much there.
One of the great calls of all time.
Seriously,
really, those,
is.
Those two are winners. Those are Hall of Fame calls.
The shouting out the press box, to me, is just...
Ooh!
Again, and then... Oh, wow.
But, Lion football! Horrible!
Boo! Nuts and bolts, we got screwed!
And then that is just... That should be taught at Newhouse. That, you know, there ain't no flags. They would not want you saying that at the Newhouse School of Broadcasting at Syracuse. Nuts and bolts, we got screwed. That should be on a syllabus somewhere. That, honestly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.